I got a Keurig. Praise the Lord. All right, God is good. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, Psalm 119, we're going to start in verse. We've begun, and we've been talking about this now since about October. And we first begin. David, this is the longest psalm. Anybody know that this is the longest psalm in the scripture? It's had 176 verses. We're not going to reach it all today. It's lovely because it's divided up into eight verse increments with the Hebrew letters of the scripture. And so we're on the fourth and fifth sections, which are Dalet and Hey. Oh, y'all thought I was mad, didn't you? Huh? Oh, no, she's doing all right. She's doing all right. Praise the Lord. All right. I don't know what she's doing, but she's doing all right. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, if you'll remember, you know, we talked about this specifically, is that and as we're going through this psalm is really more in the vein of Proverbs, of a proverb. It actually begins to just declare to you God's word and the relationship that David had to God and his word, and how daily he would be transformed by God's word. Every verse, with very few exceptions, in this psalm have a reference to, in some way, the word of God. We talked about it before. And again, there's 22 sections related to each one titled by a Hebrew letter. Start out with Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and we've been through those three, and then Dalet, D-A-L-E-T-H, and Hey is the next one we're going to be through, and the Hebrew equivalent of H. So, Hey. Not He, but Hey. And so when we go through, I just want you to be meditating on the scripture as we go through it. And I just want to teach with respect to it. We may never get all the way through it, but I just would like to encourage you with it, because it's an encouragement. This is a powerful encouragement, because what it begins to do is begins to show you how to think and show you how to relate to your own thought life. Amen? Because that's your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is living in the world and thinking like the world, or living in the world and thinking with respect to what the world has to say to you, and you begin to define yourself according to what this world says. Isn't that a problem? I mean, that's the biggest problem. See, that's why we have, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists for people, is because they're trying to figure out some way to get their life straightened out, because either they or their family are just a mess, and they just don't know how to live. They don't know how to deal with each other. They deal strictly from their emotions or from their actions. And so what God's doing is beginning to show you that your relationship with Him transcends every action or every emotion that you have. He tells you how to think. He tells you how to relate to your own emotion. That's what you need to hear. You need to know how to relate to yourself. Amen? Because your brain thinks one way. Your brain thinks, well, I'm this and that. And you're looking in the mirror, and you're looking at your behavior, and you're looking at your actions. And you're finding out that, and it appears that you're one way. But the fact is that in Christ, you are something totally different, and God is transforming you from one degree of glory to another. We're transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there, Isaiah 28:10, here a little, there a little. Boy, God is slow. But as good. As that'd be like you halfway hanging out of a car going 70 miles an hour. It's just not a good idea. God's going, you don't want God to go too fast. You know, if you're not ready. Amen? You don't want God going too fast. You think you do, but you don't. So just let Him do what He's going to do slow. Amen? God can be slow. You're slower than you think. Amen. You are slower than you think. I am. Praise the Lord. Oh, I want to get this done. Well, no, you know, it just doesn't work that way. You seem to. Another thing people have trouble with is they seem to feel like they're going two steps forward, one step back, three steps forward, four steps back. Two steps. So it's like a two-step, yeah. You seem like you're dancing, but you're not getting anywhere. That's okay. Listen. Just come again, wake up and begin to just thank God every day. Not because you feel like it, not because you've proved it yet, but just God is working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Amen? I mean, what I'm telling you is, don't have great expectations for a fast work. Okay? Sometimes God will do things faster, and it's kind of like you end up, all of a sudden you end up from here to there, and you don't know how you got there. I mean, you thought you were going to have to walk across the building, but all of a sudden, on one particular day, God moves you. Anybody ever had that happen before? I don't mean like necessarily physically, but I mean in your life, in your testimony, in what God's done. Is that all of a sudden, you are 10 steps, 20 steps, you know, further, 12 days further than you thought you were ever going to be. Anybody ever had that happen? I mean, that's a miracle of God. God can actually move you faster than you could ever than you thought could happen. And I'm losing you. God can move you faster in a spiritual growth sense than you would expect. But what I'm telling you is, don't have that expectation. Just worship Him daily, and then God will begin to move you. Okay? Hallelujah. All right. I take as much time walking back down here as I do teaching. Now, okay, each verse is containing a reference. We'll go over this again. And many of them are related like this. Each verse contains a reference to either God's law, His way, His testimonies, His commandments, His precepts, His word, His judgments, His righteousness, His statutes, and His truth, or His faithfulness. So there are references. Now, if you'll take those particular words and references, they're talking about God's Word. In a nutshell, that's every one of these references has to do with the Word of God, something God has said. So that God's Word, what He has declared as truth, is coming to you. What He's declared as truth, or how it relates to you. And so let's continue in our study at verse 25. All right? Now it says, my soul clings to the dust. Well, that's quite a statement. So that's an evidence of still of this world, isn't it? Now when he's talking about my soul, he's talking about that part of you that is not born again. Your spirit has been born from above. Your spirit is related to God. All right? Your spirit is related to God. Now, your soul is the part of you, your mind, your will, your emotions, the part of you that was raised up in this world, the part of you that got raised by your parents, the part of you that went to school, and the part of you that heard all of the math and science and all of the things, the part of you that heard do good and don't do bad, the part of you that was raised in this world to respond to this world. That's your soul. That's your personality. That part of you. And he says, my soul clings to the dust. That's a statement of fact. That's a statement of experience. All right? My soul clings to the dust. My soul is kind of dustward. My soul is kind of this worldy. Okay? How many can say that's true? My soul is kind of this worldy. I got a bent to lean toward this world. You know, I got a bent. What that means is I got a bent towards sin. I've got a bent towards sinning, toward wickedness. Because Scripture says, every one of us, we were conceived in. David said, I'm conceived in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. So every one of us is born in sin. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Eve. You know, every one of us is born in sin. So, but God created first a law to show it, because if you didn't know there was anything wrong, you couldn't ask, couldn't see the need for a remedy. So now he created a law, but the law was beyond you, right? So my soul still clings to the dust. I love that scripture. You know, when you read the Bible, you should slow down. Amen? You know, I'm going to read my daily Bible reading. My soul clings to the dust. Quicken you me according to your word. I have declared your ways and heard me and your teacher's statutes. Make. Okay, I'm done. Praise the Lord. That was a good Bible reading today. No. Slow down. I mean, don't read as many verses. Don't read the whole chapter. That's why this is great. 8 verses? That's not bad, you know. And they're very short verses, as a matter of fact. I wish I had thought to go research what was the longest verse. I think it's somewhere in Luke or John. The longest verse is like, you know, this long. It's one verse. So, you know, that would be enough for one day. Just one for that one verse. It's, you know, like 8 lines in a column. So what you want to do is slow down when you're reading. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. My soul clings to the dust. Lord, now what is that? What does that mean? So I had to stop. I had to stop and say, what is it? You know, because God can speak to you. He can actually show you things in there. He can take you on a little walk and show you what that means to you. What is my soul clings to the dust. See, this is what we're talking about, is that David is having a conversation with God. I don't know if he knew we were going to publish it. And the next verse, though, again, it's like a proverb. Here's a problem and here's a solution. Here's an experience and here's what God says about it. And so David is, in fact, stating the obvious, and then all of a sudden he has an answer. Did you know that's how God speaks to you? You'll be actually make a comment to God and he'll actually answer. Or he'll give you an answer in the middle of your inquiry. Okay? So my soul clings to the dust. Well, that coffee sure did spill. Well, you made a statement. Okay? You stated a fact of something in evidence here. Now, what's the remedy? Quicken you me according to your word. Quick, go get a Kleenex. Quick, go get a towel. So what's the answer? The coffee spilled, quick, go get a towel. What's the answer here? My soul clings to the dust. Quicken thou me. Quicken me according to your word. So if my soul is clinging to the dust, what is the response? Quicken me. Bring me to your word. Make me alive according to your word. The word quicken in the English in the King James is to make alive. To make me alive. Make alive. Make me alive according to your word. So even though my soul is clinging to the dust, now I kind of pause that statement, and then I come over here to God and His promise and His word, that His word is now going to make me alive. Where my soul is death, the word of God makes me alive. What's our reference here? Quicken you me according to your, help me?
Word.
To your word. Okay, quicken me according to your word. Okay, each verse has a remedy with respect to God's word. So how many know that that God's word is your salvation on what we'll call discipleship or sanctification? Right? Discipleship, sanctification, changing you from old man to new man by the Spirit that dwells in you. That has to happen, and that happens through God's word. God's word is Hebrews 4:12. I guess that's why I had it written here. His word is what? Alive and powerful. Hebrews 4:12. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So His word, God's word, it transforms me and changes me. How does it do that? Power of God. How does it do that? The word of God actually is a manifestation of His presence, a manifestation of His Spirit in words, and it transforms you who've been born again. Okay? In fact, it even reaches somebody who has not been born again, because it says, because when the Word of God goes forth and says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That will reach somebody who's not even born again. That will reach somebody who has. But God shows it to them. God shows it to them. And he begins, and he transforms them by showing it to them. God's word will show somebody their need for salvation. And a lot of times they can, you know, do like we do on other things, that man, we just push it aside. And he keeps, but he keeps coming. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. Amen? All right, so my soul clings to the dust. Quicken you me according to your word. Now, verse 26. I have declared my ways, and this is David talking, and you heard me. Okay? If I've declared my ways. Now, in this case, it's my ways are I want to follow you. I'm going to follow you. Quicken me according to your word. I've declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me according to your statutes. So God is hearing you, and he wants, and your declaration to him is, teach me according to your statutes. Teach me is not so you can figure out how you can do it on your own, you know, teach me to fish kind of thing, you know. No, teach me is bring me to a point where I'm listening to you. Amen? I'm fellowshipping with you. Teach me how to relate to you. Because you don't get taught and go do. You get taught how to relate to God. Amen? You get taught how to relate to him. He doesn't just teach you and send you off on a mission. You know, well, didn't he send out the 70? Yes, but he went with them. The Spirit went with them. He empowered them, didn't he? He said he gave them power over sicknesses and diseases and devils. First he sent the 12, then he sent the 70. But he didn't send them alone. In fact, remember what he said in the book of Acts. He says, don't go anywhere. He said, don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. Stay. Don't get out in the deep. Don't go out of town. Don't leave town until you get empowered from on high. So you can't grow without being empowered, can you? Amen? Amen? So you know that you're not going to now again. So this is what you want to teach your brothers and sisters and friends who aren't here. Is that, and brother, those who are in Christ, those who are in places that think that have the idea that they're going to have to change for God. And so God will be happy with them. No, God's already happy with you. What he wants you to do is relate to him and have him minister. You minister to him, he minister to you, and changes will take place. You'll be transformed. Amen? This is how you grow. Do you study? Yes. Do you study so you can do and change? No. You study so you can have fellowship with him, and he comes and makes transforms you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. All right? So you're not keeping your own scorecard, okay? You're not keeping your own scorecard. When a kid goes to school, when a child goes to school, he is not in charge of the curriculum. Amen? He just does what the teacher says. Many times, the teacher has a plan from September to June. Is that how long kids go? August to June. Sorry, Janet. August to June. So, used to be 3 months off. Now it's only two. Yeah. They think by making it longer, they can do more. You know, actually, it's probably not the case. But there's a plan from September, from August to June. Now the teacher knows the plan. Does the kid know the plan? Unlikely. He said, "How come we're doing this? Why are we doing that? Why do we have to do this in between?" Teacher really doesn't explain that, does they? Do they? Teachers typically don't explain that because they have a plan. And so God's got a plan. You may not know every day why you're doing what you're doing. Why are we doing this? You know, why do we have to know this? This is worthless. I have no reason to know this. And people have that in college, right? You know, why are we doing this? So what God is doing is he is taking you from point A to point B, but you don't know all the details. You don't know the plan. All you do is hear him and follow line upon line, precept upon precept. Just what he says to do, you do. You remember Jesus at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, Mary told the servants at the marriage feast, whatever he says to you, do it. They didn't know anything. You fill those pots up with water. Why? Fire that servant and get another one, you know, until you get one that doesn't say, why? No, so somebody would go and do what he said. And they did what he said. Then wine out of water. God produced. How did he produce it? Who knows? How could that happen? I mean, you know, how does that happen in a moment? I mean, we just filled it up with nice water. And doesn't it usually take months to get some wine out of that, or at least weeks? But God performed an instant transformation. Sometimes he can do that. Sometimes he won't. Be patient. Amen? All right, I have declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. So you begin to be taught. You begin to be taught daily as you come into his presence. You know, you're a disciple. Apprenticeship is kind of a lost thing. You know? Apprenticeship is where you follow somebody around and you learn by following them, not learning from a book. Not learning, and then once you get there, then you find out whatever you learned in the book is a far cry from what it is you're doing. But apprenticeship is learning how to do something on a concurrent basis with the master. And that's what discipleship is walking with the master. And that's what David is doing here. This is discipleship. He's learning discipleship as we walk through this Psalm 119. So I'd encourage you to read it slowly, one section at a time. And take note of the fact that God's word is an important part of this, all right? That it is the primary function of the Word of God to be a promise and then for God to fulfill his promise. Amen? Praise God. How many have a promise from God? Everybody should raise your hand. You got a promise from God. Amen. You have a promise from God. He is going to transform you into his image. All right? Verse 27, make me to understand. Okay. Make me to understand the way of your... Next word? Precepts. Okay? Your precepts, your laws, your the Constitution, you know, your laws. Make me to understand. Now, many times we think of the law of God as do this and don't do that, whereas the law of God is actually here's what things is. It's like, that's an iPhone. You don't want to drop those. You can drop an Android, but you can't drop an iPhone. Okay, here's keys. What law did I just demonstrate? Okay, is that law good or bad, or can you break that law? Can you defy that law? Let me put it to you that way. If I go out to the Grand Canyon and just try to walk across, what will happen? Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I will actually fall. So, the reason God has a law is don't do that. Well, it just doesn't seem right. I ought to be able to do that. Well, adultery is the same as walking across the Grand Canyon. Well, no, it's not. Well, God says it is. Because there's death involved. Amen? I mean, there are many things that there are. What I'm saying to you is that God says don't do something for a purpose. Amen? He says don't do something for a reason. He says don't do something because it's destructive and it'll destroy you. That's the reason God says anything, any kind of a law. Amen? Hallelujah. So the reason you just do things that are destructive, that will destroy you. Say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, if you do that, it'll destroy you, because you haven't believed on the only begotten Son of God. So make me to understand the way of your precepts. So shall I talk of your wondrous works. It's going to change my speech. When I understand the way of his precepts, understand is to have your mind changed, in this case, to change your mind, to transform your mind from this world to the kingdom of heaven. He says, then, make sure I get it right, then will I talk. Once I have an understanding, once I hear of your wondrous works. I will talk. It'll change my speech. It'll change what I'm saying. So once I have the Word of God on me, in me, once I meditate upon the Word of God, once I am meditating on God's Word, changing my mind, Romans chapter 12, is that, read that real quick. Be not conformed to this world, verse 2 in chapter 12 of Romans. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Again, that is line upon line, precept upon precept, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Right? First the corn, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Scripture is full of the examples of gradual transformation. Right? All right? So make me understand the way of your precepts. That's your prayer. And it says, in that way, that will end up in me talking of your wondrous works. Your wondrous works will replace my grumpy disposition, my complaint. Amen? See, some of us, we talk about everything that's going wrong. Others of us, most of the time, hopefully, are talking of His wondrous works. Now, so it's wondrous works or it's complaints. I'll tend to complain if I'm not careful. Amen? This didn't happen. That didn't happen. That didn't go right. Amen? That's not what I thought it was going to be. I think I did it this morning. So when your wife's here, you got to preach right. You can't tell anything. You can't tell any stories. Amen. I never complain. That's a lie. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I want to meditate on His Word, so I will be changed. So my speech will be glorifying to God. How is it glorifying to God? It talks about what He's doing, not about what I thought something should have happened. Right? The reason I'm sharing that, is because this is our daily life. Right? So we just kind of get lazy in our speech. We kind of get lazy in our meditation. Just somehow Monday through Friday will do that to you. It's just, I don't care if you're, working a 5-day, 8-to-5 job. If maybe your job doesn't require your presence like that, maybe you're very flexible. But when you're out and about, when you're not among the believers, that's why He commands us to meet together. He commands us to meet together so that we'll encourage and build up one another. So though I see Danny, who is my brother, in the Lord, and I know him after the Lord. Is he mess up and live like I do somewhere else? But we remind each other. Amen? We remind each other, or when I see Nick or Nick on Facebook or something and respond to something that he did or said, he remembers me. He remembers Dave. And he said, wow, yeah, praise the Lord. And where you might not remember that. But it's good to fellowship with each other, right, during the week. It's good to call somebody up and say, hey, glory to God. Why wait till Sunday? Amen? Why wait till Tuesday or Wednesday? It just, because we have so many opportunities to communicate. I don't do that kind of stuff. Well, then pick up the phone. If you don't do that kind of stuff, you don't do the Facebook-y stuff, then pick up the phone. Maybe you do email. Maybe something, But you have opportunities to communicate with somebody during the week. Just hear the Holy Spirit and make a communication. Tell them, hey, I was just thinking about you. God, there's no reason you can't communicate with somebody if you were just thinking of them. And again, bottom line is, pick up the phone. Well, I didn't have their phone number. Call me, I'll give it to you. Amen. I don't know if you're calling to give them a word from the Lord. That's not really what I'm talking about. The only word from the Lord the word from the Lord that you need to give somebody is, hey, God loves you, and He reminded me of you today, and I just wanted to call you and bless you. Amen? Yep. I'm not against a word from the Lord, but make sure it's from God. In that case, call me or call Danny and say, hey, would this be okay to share? I really felt like, call Joyce, if it's a lady, call Joyce or Jackie or Colleen, you know, or Janet, you know, and just, you know, kind of run that out there before you just start calling people. All right? Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. 28. We might not get very far today. My soul melts for heaviness. Which, now, what part of you was that?
Soul.
Soul, thank you. All right. So what part of that is you? That's the old man, isn't it? Now, I'll tell you this. The soul is what I'll say is informed by the Spirit. You have your soul, it's just out there just doing. It's just down there working. It's down there, you know, paying the bills. It's down there putting gas in the car. It's just thinking through the day, walking through the day. But the problem is with the soul, it also responds to stimulus. It responds to what people do. Some guy cuts you off on the road, you know, and if your soul is not yet highly informed by the Spirit, you respond through the soul instead of through the Spirit. But as you meditate upon the Word, the soul becomes what I'll call informed by the Spirit. It's influenced by the Spirit. The soul thinks twice. The Spirit says, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, don't lay on the horn on that guy. Don't, you know, love that guy. You know, bless that person, you know. Is that because you're a new person. And so the Spirit is actually changing your soul. Your soul begins to be changed. But again, that's line upon line. And that's what David's talking about, right? That's what David's talking about here, is how the Word of God is changing him. How meditation upon God's Word is changing him. About God's law. So my soul melts for heaviness. My soul will be like, you ever notice that? When heaviness comes, when something kind of a bummer comes, somebody dies, or something breaks that was your favorite thing, or, you know, just how many did we just get bummed, right? So my soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Strengthen me according to your word. Again, the Spirit, through the word, is transforming your soul. So when your soul begins to lean heavy, you get back to the promise. Father, I just thank you that you love me, and I thank you that everything is going my way. Well, that's what terrible. The thing is busted. It just fell apart. I just thank you, Lord God, that thing's not God. It doesn't run my life. That's not my joy. That thing that broke, that was busted, is not my joy. The thing that's my joy is walking with you. Because you know everything that I have need of, and you know everything that just makes my heart leap. And so I'm thankful for that, because that thing, if it was something that I needed to keep or something I needed to hold on to, then you'll either replace it or it's not necessary. Amen? So you're just thanking God. Just thanking God. Every opportunity you have to complain or to gripe or to moan and groan over, is God says, no, just rejoice. Just rejoice. All right? Remove from me the way of lying. That's interesting. Remove from me the way of lying. Huh. What is that? You know, you may know better. You may know the truth, but you may want to ignore the truth. So you would remove from me the way of lying. Just like, no, I didn't see that. I didn't see what, you know. Something happened, I did something, I had something I didn't do, something didn't happen. Remove from me the way of lying. In other words, let me not be deceitful. Let me just go to God and say, yeah, it was me. That's confessing. You know, that, you know, I took that way too seriously, and it took up most of my day complaining about it. You ever done that? That's like we talked about guilt before? Guilt is another time waster. And another time waster is mourning over a thing. Mourning over something that was lost, that, you know, may have been not necessarily, you know, not necessarily necessary. All right? So he says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Let grace rule me. Okay? Let grace rule. Let grace rule in me. Let the grace of God just rule. So in other words, no sweat, no fear, no anxiety, right? Be, what does the scripture say? It says in Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Give thanks to God. All right? So be anxious for nothing. Rejoice in all things. Be anxious for nothing. Even the things that kind of went haywire, things that went down the tube, right? And that's hard to do sometimes. Sometimes, there's something that really just kind of gets your goat, right? But again, that's the soul, not the spirit. When you are, that shouldn't have happened, or, And again, God's not mad at that, but he's saying that is not your best. That's not what's best for you. That's not what's growth. Growth is to rejoice, even in the middle of trouble. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, why would he say something like that? Just kind of out of the blue. Why would he say that? Is God just kind of like a, come on, put a smile on your face. What's the matter with you? No, he does that for your benefit. He does that for your benefit and your blessing, so that you will grow and so that your life will not be bound up by, troubles. Because otherwise, then you're just being troubled by troubles. Amen? All right, so rejoicing, giving thanks, even in the middle of a bad circumstance or a bad situation, a poor outcome, right? Yeah, that was a poor outcome. Well, amen. I know that was a poor outcome, but this isn't heaven. This isn't the Garden of Eden. You weren't promised that. Amen? God loves you. God loves you. And what he's doing is he's transforming you into his image. What's his image? He loves everybody. He loves, he loves everybody. The people you come across that are angry, ugly, mean people in the flesh. He loves them. So do you. No, I don't. I don't love that. No. It's not true. You're back to the soul again. Yeah, sure, your soul doesn't like that guy, but you're not your soul. You're Jesus. Right? You're Jesus. You're Jesus to that man. You're Jesus to that person. Right? By and large, men to men, women to women, unless there's some other problem. But you just want to minister to somebody and just love them. Just walk in peace. Walk in love. Amen? Forgive. Let go of somebody. Don't let unforgiveness rule you. Amen? Don't let unforgiveness rule you. All right. So remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Let the grace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. All right, verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. I have laid like super glue. I have stuck to your testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. When you talk like that, I have stuck to your testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. That's really a declaration of, I will never be ashamed. I will never be ashamed. Thank God that His word, His testimony, when I follow that lamp path, I will never be ashamed. That word will always lead me in a plain path, a right path. It'll lower my mountains and it'll raise my valleys and make me a straight path. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. As you meditate upon his word, your heart makes more room. Your heart, your inward man, the soul becomes less, the spirit becomes more. He has enlarged my heart. My love for people who do evil and who do wrong. I'm involved in politics a lot, and people get very animated. That really was good. I like that word. People get very animated in their political expression. And so you go, wow. And you just learn to love them. and you learn to say, Father, thank you for that person. And when they decide to invite you to join them in their animation, you're just like, hallelujah. Yeah, God's good, isn't he? Yeah, it's amazing. Let's pray for that other brother that this person is complaining about. You know, well, just thank God that he's going to do great things. And that brother is probably going to be a vessel to help us, you know, rather than to try to destroy them, you know, in the name of Jesus. Because we're all Christians. And so we're destroying our brother and sister in the name of Jesus for the sake of politics. Because that brother is not doing right, you know, and they say they're a Christian. So you just begin to just walk in peace, amen, and walk in love, and let God work the thing out, and you begin to pray and just encourage that other person to see the blessing that person was, maybe to bring out a fact that was never in evidence before. The Lord will give you wisdom, amen. Because you're not wanting to, you know, kill the other guy. Well, you doggone sinner. You know, you're just loving them. Amen? You want to be able to speak into their life. So I will run the way of your commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. Amen. Well, let's not even start another one. Praise the Lord. Can you see how you want to take a little time to meditate on these things and find out what God's doing. Amen? It's important to do. The Psalms are really powerful, but this particular one is one that, you know, I think I mentioned to you in the past, when Esther was in the class with the young people and that we would do Psalm 119, we would do an eight verse section, have them read it through and then come back the next week, and they're supposed to have thought about it all week, and I don't know if they ever thought about it. Did you ever think about it? Huh? Yeah, you picked your favorite verse out of that particular section, and then you had to tell why that impacted you in some way. And what it was is an exercise in teaching a young person how to meditate on Scripture, right? Just to read it, meditate on it. Okay, what's that saying? What's that saying to me? You know. And so that's a powerful way to move. All right? So God is good. I hope you're blessed. Amen. Amen. I hope you're encouraged. You know, I'm not a real fast, you know, run all over the pew type of guy like Pastor Jim. You know. Jeff.
I want to share this real quick. Paul and I were talking last week about teachers and how, I don't know if we're talking about one of Zach's classes or one of my guys' classes, but one of the kids had the highest grade in one of the classes was like 60 or something. And, you know, we got to talking about the bell-shaped curve and how they raised all the grades in the class and that type deal. And this particular teacher was failing all the kids. And, you know, we got to talking about teachers and how what a good teacher does. You know, and a good teacher teaches the kids so they all get A's, right? But they're going to work for it. But the very next line here in 119:33 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because God's our teacher. You know, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make it. You're going to make it because the Lord's our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I see it in Walmart all the time. There's managers that they're not teachers, they're not trainers. They're just turning managers over, like firing people. You know, people that aren't measuring up, they just get rid of them. And then there's ones that are milquetoast. They just they're not doing any of the policies, the operations. They're not doing that piece. You know, and those people are making it. But there's ones that are teaching, training, developing that are actually doing a really good job. You know, and those develop really good managers. You know, so it's encouraging that we have the Lord as our teacher that's going to get
Amen.
Us, and we're going to make it. It's a promise. I like that because it's in the Psalms a lot of times it's like, show me your way and I'm going to do it.
Right.
No, it's like we have an awesome teacher
That's right.
That's going to get us mm-hmm. to where he's going to make us what he's created us to be. We're going to do it, but it's him teaching us, him growing us, him mm-hmm. developing us. You know what I mean?
Amen.
So I was really encouraged by that today that, you know, there's a lot of that in the Psalms where he's saying, I'm going to do it, but it's not really him doing it, it's God doing it. We have that language in here, but it does kind of create a good picture, though, that the Lord's our teacher, and therefore we're going to make it. We are going to walk in his ways because he deals with us perfectly. He disciplines us, you know, he teaches us, he grows us, he encourages us, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. So we are going to make it. We are going to do it. It is 100% him, but it's us with him, you know. So
yeah.
It's a good picture. So
praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Good word. Amen. Jeff, why don't you pray?
Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for just dealing with us perfectly. You are the perfect teacher and perfect father that does discipline us, but only for just bringing us closer to you, for things that are good for us. So, Father, we just yield ourselves to